Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, SusieMazzoli-Healer.com, or InsightOasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at ActiveSpirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to ActiveSpirituality.life with Pamela Cuccinelle and Susie Mazzoli. Here we are again, as we are every single week for so many years now, hopefully providing some information and some assistance, some guidance for everyone. Pam's laughing along. It has been many, many years, and you can trust us. We will be here every week. We have been showing up, and that is something, I have to say. So this week is the 29th week of 2020, smack bang in the middle of summer in where we live in the Northern Hemisphere. And it starts with Monday, July 13th. Pam's going to give us the forecast for the week, and then I will jump in at the end for a quick turbo boost meditation. Thanks so much, Pam. What's ahead?
Many, many years. Okay, sounds good. So let's talk about the July 13th, 2020. What happens when I do these forecasts is I always talk about Eastern time. So you have to adjust depending on where you are on the planet. But on July 13th, the moon goes void, of course, at 11:54 a.m. And what that means is that when the moon is void, of course, it no longer makes any geometric aspects to another planet before it changes signs. So when we're in that window, which can be a minute or it can be 24 hours or more, depending on the day, we are at a point in time where we're just not as attached to the outcome of things. So it can be very useful for doing things like clearing out a closet or moving through things that usually get you stuck in a form of, do I need this? Do I want this? What about this? So, and with the moon in Aries, it's especially efficient at moving quickly and decisively through things that might ordinarily get you a little emotionally hung up on outcome or possibilities. There really are not any when the moon is void, of course, although this can change somewhat depending on your astrological chart. So if the moon is not moving in any way that's triggering something in your personal horoscope, and it's void, of course, it is a period of time when it's void to get certain things done. It's not a good time to reach out, initiate, begin something, because there's not the glue that holds it together. But it is excellent for moving through a project already in motion, purging, organizing, getting things in place. So the moon enters the sign of Taurus at 1:34 p.m. on the 13th, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. But up until 11:54 a.m., it's in the sign of Aries. And it's not really comfortably aspected. The morning in until almost noon can feel like you're pushing a rock uphill. If you're a person that gets hung up a lot on the shoulds, oh, I should have done it that way, it should be better, it's not quite perfect. It's not what it should be. Then this morning is going to feel a bit heavy for you because it's going to magnify that natural proclivity you have to second guess and stop yourself from moving forward. Know that and then move through it anyway, because there are times when it's never going to be exactly up to high standards, but it's good enough. It's perfect as it is. And so this can be a helpful mantra or way to look at things if you're feeling yourself being stuck for reasons that really have no bearing. And you may notice that once we get past that point and the moon is void, suddenly you're liberated from that yoke of heaviness, responsibility. Once the moon enters the sign of Taurus, then we're in a very different energy. The signs right next to one another are the most disparate, and Aries is fire, initiation energy. Taurus is earth, sustaining, moving with something with a constancy. And at this point in time, the moon is actually much more comfortably aspected, and we're able to stay with projects, get things done. And the other thing I need to mention is we have to remember Mercury just went direct on Sunday the 12th. So we're in this kind of momentum where the switches have changed in a way. It's like you've been moving down a road in a certain direction, and suddenly all the detours and things that were bumps in the road, suddenly the road is paved and you're looking at a wide expanse. And that kind of exhilaration that can kick in with feeling like barriers have freed, also still proceed with a degree of caution, because just because the road is open and wide doesn't mean there aren't speed traps or things to be paying attention to. With that in mind, with the moon in Taurus, we can focus on something and start to roll it out in a way that has a lot of authority to it, a lot of power behind it. We're in the waning moon cycle, so that means this time next week we will be in the new moon. So at this point, we're wrapping things up, completing, deciding what kind of holds us back and what we want to aim for, to act on. And we can really get a lot done on the 14th, afternoon of the 13th, and the 15th. These are powerful days for bringing people together and making things happen. Another thing to keep in mind is on the 14th, there's a picture in the sky between Sun and Jupiter, which is very intense. And so we can even feel that Monday at the beginning of the week, this largeness of choices and where we put our energy. It's so important to make choices that are really what you want to put your momentum and force within. And there can be a bit of a seduction or a sense of, well, what about this? Or let's go here. And it can feel very big and compelling. You want to weigh out what is really a value for you to be using the energetic thrust of these few days so that you really maximize potential. And the more present, mindful, aware, and less pulled in to what may seem like the bright, shiny object at the moment. Stay with what really meets your sense of this is what I want to project and put out in a big, light way. And if you don't let yourself get overpowered by what seems to be the flavor of the day, and really stay with what your heart of hearts and desire to focus on and manifest has always been or is at this point in time, then satisfaction by end of day on the 15th will be keener and higher than if you kind of let yourself get swept in to the seemingly more compelling thing. It's a posturing that's happening. There's basically the planetary configuration is we've got the sun in opposition to Jupiter, the biggest planet in the solar system. And then later on, it is in opposition to Pluto, one of the tiniest planets that we are engaged in symbolic dialogue. And these energies talk about our deep-seated wisdom, potential, optimism, expectations of what the world can be, and the transformations ahead of us that are inevitable. We're in a time, 2020, which is so much about inevitable transformations, and each one of us are players in how those transformations pan out. Even though the transformations are inevitable, what's not apparent or defined is outcome and how it's going to play out. So it's very important that each one of us feels called to declare, define, and solidify what it is that's meaningful to each one of us. Because passive spectators at this point in time are not going to be utilizing where we will go or what we will create. So to say that more clearly, the louder voices or the more defined architects or people who are invested in constructing new realities are going to declare, define what those are. So that's why passive spectating, if your heart or mind or spirit really has a sense of what you'd like the world to be, don't be a passive spectator. Project out, even if it's meditation or creative design, you know, you don't have to be one of the people out there on the streets or involved in government to be one of the architects of transformation. But you do have to be present in the daily world and showing up with what it is that you want the world to look like. So at 11:21 p.m., the moon goes void, of course, and it's void, of course, until 1:19 a.m. on the 16th, in the wee hours of the morning, when it enters the sign of Gemini. And once it's in that place in time, again, very different energy from the moon in Taurus. Moon in Taurus may have put us to bed the night before with a sense of, I'm going to sleep deeply tonight. But on the 16th, once the moon races into the sign of Gemini, dreams, we may wake up, something may be crowding in, giving us a sense of, I'm waking up early, I'm doing this, this has to happen. Again, it depends on who you are in your own alchemical makeup. But for some of us, air signs, fire signs, now that Mercury's direct, this can be kind of a jazzed up couple of days. That being said, things are not crystal clear. The 16th can feel like, oh, I'm running around, I'm getting a lot done, many things are happening. But just because, as I said earlier, the road is clear and you can move quickly doesn't mean that it's not still important to double check, look at your notes, make sure everybody's clear and on board about what was agreed to. Because Mercury is backtracking, going over where it had traveled when it was retrograde. So it's kind of regaining its momentum. And during this period of time, we can notice things that fell through the cracks or things that were not declared as openly or perhaps as honestly as they may have been. So that's why it's of value to really look at it from all sides and make sure you understand it and the other people involved really understand it. And on the 17th, this may become more obvious, especially as we get into the afternoon, early evening. There can be some confusion, not everything being apparent, and a need to see what is obfuscating or not really being clearly delivered or articulated. The moon goes void, of course, at 5:15 p.m. in the sign of Gemini through morning of Saturday, the 18th. So it's valuable for people who have trouble sleeping or not wanting to stay up too late. Get off the computer on the early side because moon in Gemini, void, of course, people can just go down the rabbit hole of all kinds of internet conversations or explorations and find that they missed out on their REM cycles. When really what might be more of use is to have some fun conversations with people and or children, play, not that children aren't people, but specifically with the Gemini void, of course, moon, there's a kind of playful, curious why energy that's activated. So children often open that up in a way that's curious and fun and brings us back to the roots of our early explorations. So that's why I mentioned children. And on the 18th, the moon enters the sign of Cancer at 10:24 a.m. So the early morning on the 18th can be a little scattered. It's valuable to have made a to-do list if things were important sometime on the 17th before the moon went void, so that your morning isn't sort of out of kilter or undefined. Of course, if you have a day where it's not necessary to define it, then it's perfectly fine to enjoy the sense of where does this lead me morning that can happen before the moon enters the sign of Cancer. Once it enters the sign of Cancer, now this is a very valuable weekend to be aware of, because what's happening is this is going to be the second new moon in Cancer of this year. The first one happened around the summer solstice at 0 degrees Cancer. So this one happens at 28 Cancer, 27 minutes. I see it as a highly creative, fecund new moon. So the 18th, 19th, we're in the dark of moon because the new moon happens actually on the 20th. So we'll talk more about that at next week's recording. But at this dark of moon period, it's a very rich time to dig in to what it is that it's time to release from. And people who've listened to me over the many, many years that Susie and I have talked or read what I write on my blog, insightoasis.com, know that the term letting go is something that it's valuable, but I don't really see that we ever let go totally of anything, that energy needs to go somewhere. So in dark of moon cycle, we can certainly release and process, but I see it as a way to recycle. Okay, I let go of certain emotions, feelings, things that I had to forgive. And now I'm in a process of taking whatever was necessary to take me through that experience and what I may have learned from that experience or gained or lost. And I'm recycling it. I'm using it in different ways to regenerate. It's as though when you think about the dead things that go into the earth, the leaves, the plants, the animals that basically deteriorate and then end up in a mineral compost way of creating very rich soil. That's what we do at the dark of moon cycle. So it's a tremendously powerful period, especially with the moon in Cancer, which Cancer is one of the symbols of incubation, the womb, birth. So we've got this cooking, this stew pot of energy cooking that goes on, and it's getting warmer and it's getting hotter. And the thing to be aware of on the 19th, especially in the early morning, is tempers can be a bit volatile, almost like a tantrum thing that can happen in early morning. So if you're feeling that or feeling the effects of someone else on that, realize that's all part of what's cooking now. And it's a great time to release, understand, and embrace and move on from, because we're in preparation for that new moon that can really enrich and vitalize where we go in this kind of midsummer energy, end of summer into into the fall. So I'll talk more about that next week, but now I'm going to turn it over to Susie.
Pam, is there any one particular word that you would use or a group of words to sum up the week?
I would say contemplate and enrich.
Ooh, how nice is that? Okay, let's bounce into our meditation. I invite everybody to take a place of stillness, a place of quiet, close your eyes, just a little mini break for 10 minutes. Or if you like the meditation, you can keep looping it and listen to it for an hour. See how you go. Take a few deep breaths. And as we arrive, and as we come into the space of ourself, come into the space of our own mind, our own body, our own feelings. Sometimes it's a little bit tricky to untangle, to detangle yourself from everything else, from other bodies, from other thoughts, from other people's emotions. So just feel yourself becoming the self and coming into the sovereign field of the self. noticing what is important to you, what you need, what you think. And as you're doing that, just notice if there's a little piece of you that wants to stay somewhere else, that is still engaged with something else, and just be gentle. It's like you're an octopus and you're pulling all of your arms in, all of your tentacles into your body. And when you're feeling that roundness and completeness, you're becoming very engaged with the moment that is happening now. And for some of us, that is very hard. The mind, our emotions are so looped in like a broken record to things that have happened in the past. We chew over them, we mull over them, we generate lots and lots of feelings. Usually they are feelings of perhaps shame or guilt or upset or betrayal, whatever. Feelings that are not really good for us, feelings that are not serving us. And we might do it on a daily basis, we might do it on an hourly basis. So just allow all of those things from the past now to be in the past. Allow all of that to be in the past. And as we sit here in the present moment, allow the present moment to be full and complete with just the now. Some of us are also very engaged with the future. And that, of course, is normal for us. We plan, we set things up, we put things in place, we organize ourselves, all ensuring that we do have a future, that we have a home, that we have food, that we have a job, that we have company. All of the things that we think about for the future, that we plan for the future, especially now in these very uncertain times during the global pandemic of things moving in and out of our schedules, things opening, things closing, we're not knowing what's happening in the next week, in the next day even. How do we really come into a place of peace, even acceptance, and stay engaged in the now moment without projecting all of our energy into the future? See how much we can create that exquisite balance of not being in the past, of not engaging in the future, even if it's just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes now, as we sit together for 10 minutes in meditation, we're allowing the future to be exactly that, the future, not here and not now. And we're allowing the past to be exactly that, the past and in the past. And we are here now in this present moment, enriching this present moment now, contemplating just peace, the quietness of our mind. We can contemplate the sensitivity and sensibility of our awareness, or simply just engage with our breath. If everything else is too hard, and some days we are overwhelmed and everything is impossible and too hard, we just engage with the breath. gently breathing in and breathing out. And every time the mind wanders off in this direction or that direction, or gets pulled out of the focus on the now, focus on the breath, we just keep bringing it back again and again and again, ever so gently, bringing our mind back to now, taking a deeper breath in and a breath out. And if we are new to meditation and if quieting the mind is difficult for us, or if we've been doing it for 50 years and it's still difficult for us, if the times, if the situations, if the global conditions, if our local conditions, whatever, are overwhelming, we can always do this. And a simple way is to count 9 breaths in and out, take a pause, and start again. And in this way, we are remembering to come back. We are remembering to come back to the state of peace. And in the same time, we're literally training our body to be in that state of balance, of calmness, of peace. We're training our body to breathe deeply. Everything's slowing down, our heart rate. And we're actually increasing our vital health. And even through a few minutes, 10, 20 minutes of peaceful focusing like this on the breath, focusing on being present, allowing the mind, the so-called monkey mind, to be in this calm equipoise, this is actually building our immunity, which is one of the best things that we can do. So as we feel this peace now, take a few deeper breaths, remembering that everything that we do personally actually is projected out into the energy field of the universe. And the more peace we feel, the more peace we are putting out there into the world. So if we have the blessing, if we are lucky enough to know this, let us do this daily and share the peace. A few deeper breaths in and out, gently opening our eyes, and we take this out to the world. Thanks, everybody.
You can find out more about Susie and her work as a master healer and homeopath on Susie Mezzoli, MEZZOLY-healer.com. And I'm Pamela Cuccinell, and instead of trying to spell my name, you can find me at insightoasis.com. And that's where I blog regularly about what's going on in the sky and the symbolism of the planets in relationship to what's happening here on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to leave a donation or subscribe, you can do so at activespirituality.life. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.